let's pray and believe God for great things for this 2016. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And believe God to do a great work. And just be willing and open to be directed and led by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Because it is so important that we listen to the Spirit of God and the Word of God just moving us forward. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be sure we need to follow God and walk in obedience. Jesus said, let's fill that commandment, love one another as I have loved you. And that should be a great one for this year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes we have to love what seem to be unlovely or the unlovable, but you know, the word says love.
Mm-hmm.
And God is love, and He created all things out of His love. And so that is something we need to sort of remind ourselves of. That we were created out of all things, and we were created by His love.
Mm-hmm.
That we might be ready to fulfill a mystery. Because I believe each and every one of us should seek God in some way for how God wants to work through us and to minister through us. Because that's part of His calling.
Mm-hmm.
Part of every one of us. That we do the things of God and we fulfill our ministry. Because if you don't, you become frustrated. And that's not what God created you for. And so you have to begin to fulfill the ministry under the anointing in the body of Christ. That we would see people being drawn to Jesus. And sometimes fulfilling His ministry is, you know, you work with others.
Mm-hmm.
And you join together with others. And they, together you have a corporate ministry.
Mm-hmm.
That changes lives. Because that's what we're here for. We're here to change lives.
Yeah.
You know, we as the Church of Jesus Christ, and don't just mean Harvest Fields, but I mean the Church of Jesus Christ, should be on the move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be expanding, and it should be believing God for expansion and growth.
Mm-hmm.
And not looking for a bailout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when can we leave quickly? It's not that. It's a case of God said to Adam, rule and reign. There's no change. That was the commandment that God gave to the first man on the earth, rule and reign.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't changed. It's the same through Jesus Christ. I gave you power and authority.
Mm-hmm.
Everything shall bow its knee to the name of Jesus, rule and reign.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the church needs to be. It needs to be the church triumphant, not the church on the run.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem that we've got so often. The church is backing down, not prepared to face issues, and it's on the run. Well, it should be a church that is triumphant, moving forward,
mm-hmm.
and taking possessions. You know, this nation was great in that we had an empire, and as it said, of that empire, the sun never ever set on it. The sun would always shine somewhere within our empire. So that's how far we reached. And the reason that we had an empire is because the reason for it was that God was causing us to carry the gospel to all nations. And that's why God allowed that to happen. Because we were carrying the gospel to reach all nations. Because the Church of Jesus Christ should fill all nations.
Mm.
Daniel had a vision. Remember the vision? The statue. And it came and hit the statue, destroyed it. And it said, and the stone filled the whole world.
Mm.
It's a prophecy.
Mm.
It will come to pass. Mm. God does not lie.
No.
Right? But the church has got to get up. Start hoping.
Mm-hmm.
So let's be moving forward this year. Let's be forward thrusting in the things of God. Sometimes it's good to just share with a few. Probably share it on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
it needs to be said, it needs to be repeated, it needs to be told, because we need to be more informed.
Mm-hmm.
We need to possess the lands.
Mm-hmm.
Not just lands. Not land, but lands. We need to possess them.
Mm-hmm.
In Christ Jesus, the church needs to be grown. And we're not, we don't bow to other religions. We bow the knee only to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to press forward. It was good to hear that the ministry in Ireland would let off. For his statement, stand for what you believe, and God will stand up for you in heaven. And that's the thing. Stand for what you believe in Christ Jesus, and see God move mighty. See God move mountains. And I believe that's where we need to come to as a church. For just for us even. Let us do it. And let us do it with fervency.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those old ancient hymns. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Lift high his royal banner. We must not suffer loss.
Mm-hmm.
You see? We're not backing down. We're going forward.
We've got no armour at the
back,
have we?
No. Oh, it's only a front. So let's keep going forward. Face the enemy and watch the enemy run from us.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen.
God praise his wonderful name. No matter what comes against us, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Yes.
So praise his wonderful name. Tonight we will try and finish off James. The book of James, we're into chapter 5, the last chapter, James chapter 5. I want to just go back to chapter 4 and verses 16-17 basically. I'll just start from there and just read it through as if there's no break in it. Because sometimes it is that case, the numbers and the chapters are there just for help us find things. If it's written as a letter, you don't write a letter to you and sort of go through and write verse 1 and then verse 2. You might have bullet points occasionally, but verse 16 says, "But as it is, you boast falsely in your presumption, your self-conceit. All such boasting is wrong. So any person who knows what is right to do but does not do it, to him it is sin. Come now, you rich people, weep aloud and lament over the misery and woes that are surely coming upon you. Your abundant wealth has rotted and is in ruin, and your many garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver completely rusted through, and their rust will be a testimony against you, and it will devour your flesh as if it were fire. You have heaped together treasures for your last days. But look here, the wages you have withheld by fraud from the labourers who have reaped your fields, crying out for vengeance, and the cries of the harvesters have come to the ears of the Lord of hosts. Here on earth you have abandoned yourselves to soft, prodigal living and to the pleasures of self-indulgence and self-gratification. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous, innocent man, while he offers no resistance to you. So be patient, brethren, as you wait till the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits expectantly for precious harvests from the land. See how he keeps up his patient vigilance over it until he receives the early and latter rain." A little bit like today's society, I think, sounds not like.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed on the news today, this is something I couldn't understand really, but the lottery is going crazy. There's a 50 million rollover. Everybody's racing to buy tickets and the system's collapsing on them. And they interviewed the lady from the lottery and she said, "Well, we've changed it so that we will have more rollovers and we will create more millionaires." Yet, they bring a mathematician on,
it's not a lottery,
and he works it out that your chances now were 14 million to one. They are now 46 million to one. But you win. So, with all sorts of odds, to create more millionaires is actually being reduced.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. And as they increase the number, so your probability of winning is less.
It's less, exactly.
Because they only improved it by 10, but it shot the...
Exactly. So the statement is incorrect. Mm-hmm. You see, to create more millionaires, why do we need millionaires? Why don't we just allow people to win less and have something a little bit extra to get by with?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so give more people, spread the wealth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we're not doing that. These people are hoarding money to themselves. There's been programs on recently about these rich people, and they do not know what to spend the money on. They have so much money, they do not know what to spend the money on. And in many cases, you look at the amount they've got, and they could give some of that to a just cause and change somebody's and a good number of people's lives for a long time.
Yeah.
So you know, this is where I said, as a church, when the people in this group, in Harvest Fields Fellowship, when the people in this group give, Kendall would say, oh well, we've got administration charges. None of that happens. What we look at, and we say, well, by the way, the taxman will give us, what is it, 25%. Yeah. So we look at that and say, well, if we've raised £1,000, well, there's another 25% to go on this. So mm-hmm. the church adds the 25%, even though we haven't got it. We're doing the opposite to what I'm going to say 90.9999% of charities do.
Yeah.
Right? But we're doing exactly the opposite. And because I believe that because we do that, God will bless us.
Amen. And look what he's done.
Well, exactly. Mm. And this is still coming to pass.
Yes.
You know, this is unfolding. And not just the building, but the fact that young men and young women are going to come to Christ.
Yeah.
And are going to be pillars in the community in the future.
Yeah.
But it's about doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And as James, finishing up, as James sort of says in here, and I love this verse 4 and 17, the person who knows what is right to do but doesn't do it, to them that is sin. So if you know what the right thing is to do, you better do it.
Mm.
Because if you don't, you're walking in sin.
Yeah.
Doesn't God make it tough?
Yeah.
You know, the standards.
Yeah.
The standards that God pushes things to. Because God expects it from us, and God knows that with his help, with our relationship with him, we can do it.
We can. Nothing.
But the world can't do that.
No.
The world is incapable of doing that. Mm. But with Christ, all things are possible.
Yeah.
And so that is such an... To me, in James, that's probably one of the best verses that there is. Many years ago, it lit up to me, and I've never forgotten this verse.
Mm.
To him that knoweth to do good and doesn't do it, it's sin in his life. Andrew, that should slap you across the face every time you step out of line. Oh, to him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, it's sin. And, you know, so if somebody says to you, what is sin? There's your answer to the believers. Well, if you're not doing what you know to be right and good, then that's sin.
Mm-hmm.
That is a high level of
standard.
It's high standard, isn't it, for each and every one of us to attain to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is a standard that God sets for us to achieve to. And as we've said earlier on in the studies, James is the first book written to the very early church, and he's in God, he's setting the standards. This is the standards that Christ expects of us. This is the standard that is achievable in Christ Jesus. That's the great thing. This is achievable.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, God does not set his goals that are not achievable. God does not set standards that we would never reach.
Yeah.
All things are possible all things are possible to him that believes through Christ Jesus. So these are the things that God is reaching, wants us to reach to, because he knows that as we reach towards these goals and towards these standards, whatever you want to call them, it will be to our betterment.
Mm-hmm.
It will be to the betterment of the area we live. It will be to the betterment of our nation and to the world.
Yeah.
If all men would reach towards the standards of Christ.
Yeah.
But instead, what do we do today? We make laws to see where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
To accommodate us.
Yeah.
Well, God didn't make laws to accommodate us.
No, I'm
going to challenge it. He brought us the laws... And he brought us the law of love that actually takes us to a higher level and a higher standard than the law of Moses. And so it's important that we realise that God is doing this. And the mercy and the grace of God says, you know, when we trip up occasionally, he bends down, he reaches down, and he picks us up. And he says, come on, we can do this together. Together, you know, put your hands in the hands of the Almighty God and walk with him.
I went to Wharf House this morning and there was a poster up on the wall in the reception area and it said, do not look down on someone unless you're helping them up.
Yes.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That. Mm,
yeah.
It's a similar thing to this, isn't it?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It really struck me, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't look down on anyone unless you're helping them up.
Mm. Yes. Praise his wonderful name.
Mm.
And so, I mean, James has seen saying here that to these wealthy people, who are to some degree probably looking down on people, and he's saying, your wealth's corrupted you.
Yeah.
And it's going to destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible teaches the love of money is the root of all evils. And there's nothing wrong with money.
It's how you use it.
Exactly. Yeah. It is how you are prepared to use it. Somebody could donate £1 million to us. Well, I personally would not benefit from it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't need to take anything from it at all. But the area, the church, and missions that we're connected with would all benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Because we would, you know, we would be able to work and oversee works, and other people could get involved, and those sort of things would happen. But I wouldn't want anything, because I just want to be part of what God is doing.
Yeah.
To be part of what God is doing is something wonderful.
It is.
I spoke to the venerable retired Archdeacon John Hawley today. He used to be in Doncaster with the Billy Graham mission to Sheffield. With him, he headed it up when we were in Doncaster, and we were just chatting about that a little bit. He's coming over to see Grace and I in a few days' time. And he said to me, are you still doing what you were doing? I said, well, what's that? He says, well, you know, living by, he didn't exactly call it faith, you know, but he's like, you know, living by, I said, yeah, well, I'm living by faith and, you know, believing God and just trusting God as he works. He says, been doing that for quite a few years now, haven't you? I said, yes. And we don't look bad on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asking how we both were. I said, yeah, we're doing great. You know. And he was like, that's great, Doug. You know, so can't wait to meet you again, you know, sort of thing. And again, you see, what we did all those years back stuck in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still doing what you were doing? You're still there. You're still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm looking good on it.
Mm-hmm.
And rejoicing in what God's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And thanking God, you know. Again, I told about the five girls and the girl on New Year's Day gave her life to Jesus, you know. For me, that is, to me, that's like a seal program.
It is.
Five, the number of grace.
It is.
Finish the year of 2000.
Start of the new year as well.
One, at the beginning of the new year. One, God is on the road.
Alex a couple of weeks before that.
So it's wonderful to see that as you are prepared to give, and when I say give, I'm not just purely speaking about finance, but as you are prepared to give of yourself, your time, your heart, your talents, your finances, whatever you can give, God will use that.
Yeah.
If we give it rightly, God will use that to His glory.
Yeah.
Amen.
And will change people's lives.
Yeah.
But you know, in this year, God, I believe, will continue a process of refining us to bring us into a, I was going to say an even more righteous position. But God will be honestly working on us and refining us through His righteousness, so that, like was said of Jesus, this is what God wants to be able to see and to be able to say, I find no fault in Him. He was perfect. He was spotless. And that is God's goal and aim for each and every one of us. That God wants to bring us to that point. And so we will have to deal in our own lives with issues so that we can draw closer into the presence of God. You know, we will have to move from, we've talked in the past about the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. And God wants us into the place of the Holy of Holies, and that is a place of where it's absolute purity. God wants to bring us and to have us in that place. That's the place where He wants us. God wants us, if you take the Book of Solomon, God wants to bring us to the bedchamber where the bride and the groom, Christ, bring forth new life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, and the bride is to be this spotless, perfect bride. And she's to be glorious. And she's to look good, and she's to be good, and she's to have the authority.
Mm-hmm.
And the church is supposed to be like that. The church is the bride.
Okay.
Like we've painted these walls white, and everybody comes in, wow, you can't miss it, can you? When the lights come on, you walk in, and you think, whoa. First thing I heard somebody say was, I need sunglasses in here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the effect.
Yeah.
Spiritually, that the church should have on the nations and on our politicians and anybody in government.
Yeah.
It should have that effect. Whoa, we need to step back a minute. What are we doing? Who is this? We are the representatives, the ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has the right to rule heaven and earth. Oh, I tell you.
Whoa,
I'm working on a subject at the moment, God restoring paradise. Hallelujah. I might be preaching for years on it. It's just, there is so much in there. And it all starts, I might just give you a hint of Sunday's message, and it all starts, and God said.
They
ultimately thought. Well, actually, it starts with, and in the beginning, God. Just put a full stop in your Bible. In the beginning, God. It's all in the book. It's all you need. In the beginning of 2016.
God. Whoa.
Come on.
Nothing is impossible.
He can change our destinies.
Mm-hmm.
He can lift our sights higher.
Yeah.
He can cause our faith to come up higher.
Yeah.
He can cause the church. He will cause the church to be that glorious bride.
Yeah.
But we've got to stop looking back, saying, "Oh, I wonder when we're going to all get bailed out. When we're going to get rescued from all this sinfulness that's coming into the world." Well, let me tell you this: when you put that fire on, it lights up
mm-hmm.
and it drives out the darkness.
Yeah, it does.
When the fire gets lit in the
yeah.
church,
mm-hmm.
it'll drive out the darkness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So come on, church. Don't sit back and just say, oh, it's always going to be like this. It ain't always going to be like this.
No way.
God's no intention of it staying the same.
No.
Everything God is doing is set to change. Read what he says.
Mm-hmm.
Read what God has said. And as I say, when you look at Daniel, the prophecy of Daniel is still not yet fulfilled.
No.
The stone. It's nearly. It's in the last process of being fulfilled. The stone has brought down the giant.
Yes.
And now it's expanding. And expanding. And
it
says, and it filled the whole earth.
Amen.
Glory to God. Church in China is rising. Church in Nepal is rising. The church in South America is rising and moving.
The more oppression you get, the better it rises.
Well, yeah. The top of the surface.
Yeah.
Can't keep them down. Yeah. And so we've got to believe that we've got it.
Yeah.
And we've got to press in and we've got to begin to take this word and we've got to confess this word. We've got to speak this word out and change the spiritual dynamics.
Amen.
Around us.
Yeah.
And change our own thinking. By speaking out the word of God and believing it, we change our own thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Romans 12. Brainwashing.
Yeah.
Just change your thinking. How am I going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Speak the word.
Yeah.
Speak the word and begin to believe it. Begin to let that word mould you and shape you and form you into that vessel that God wants you to be.
Amen.
Carriers of the anointing.
Yeah.
Carriers of the Holy Spirit
yeah.
to change lives.
Amen.
To bring new destinies to people who are lost in trespasses and sins, who are going to hell.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, you have got the answer.
Yes.
Go out into all the world. Preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, bring in the good news, and let the harvest come in.
Yeah. We are the home of God, aren't we?
Oh, exactly. He said he's going to dwell in earthen vessels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not interested in buildings, you know. It's great that we have a building we can put some heat on and keep warm.
Mm.
Won't be good meeting outside in a wood tonight, would it?
No.
Really? Nice to be in a warm building. So. We need, you know, we need buildings for those facilities too.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't worship the building.
No.
We worship the Creator
mm-hmm.
of all things. Praise His wonderful name. And so, in verse 7 it says, the farmer, he waits expectantly on the seed.
Mm-hmm.
He's got faith in that seed.
Mm-hmm.
He's got faith in that seed. He went out and he's sown it. And he gazes over his field and he's looking for that first green shoot. He's not looking there thinking, it'll never come up. It's never going to happen, you know. It's all been a waste of time. Don't know why we ever bothered. You know, all that ploughing and hoeing and getting all this land ready and yet it'll not happen, you know. These seeds won't come up. You don't stand there saying that, does it?
No.
He stands there looking and saying,
yes, faces.
Not be long before them shoots through now.
Amen.
You know? Yeah? And literally, through the eye of faith, he's looking at the field and he's seeing it green, although it's brown.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's seeing it. And I tell you, when he sees it come green, he's like, now he's seeing it golden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I've got a harvest. On its way, you see. So when he sows, he's sowing in faith and believing. He's trusting that seed.
Yeah.
This book, trust it. This word of God, trust it.
It's incorruptible seed.
Exactly, it is incorruptible seed. And when the rain of the Holy Spirit begins to water this word, we'll see an increase.
Amen.
See God moving in power.
Amen.
Let's move on to verse 8.
What chapter are we?
5.
Patient.
So you also must be patient. Establish your hearts. Strengthen and confirm them in this final certainty of the coming of the Lord Jesus is very near. It's nearer than you think. This was written 2,000 years ago. But a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day, so it's 2 days. What is time to God? God, the sun does not revolve around God and dictate the time. God does not revolve around the sun and is dictated by time. God is light.
Yes.
He is the light.
Amen.
And so time is nothing to God. It doesn't exist. So she will mean this structured by time until you know. God is not. But his coming is very near. And yet you could sort of say in these last few days we saw his coming in 6 or 7 young people over the last few days. His coming. And he came into their lives.
Yeah.
And there's a commencement of the life of Christ and the relationship of God in them. Which we need to continue to pray for. Oh, here's a good one, verse 9. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. The judge is already standing at the very door. God's ready. And, you know, the Bible says, don't judge. The Bible tells us to discern things. But the judging is left to God. The word tells us to restore a brother and sister in the things of the kingdom. And that's so important, as long as they want restoration.
Yeah.
And that's another one. I mean, we had somebody in our life who didn't want any restoration, and we had to just hand them over and let God deal with them. And unless a person's willing to change and to want change, there's nothing anybody can do, because God still, we still have that free will, and we choose to surrender our free will to God and say, not my will, Lord, but your will. And we surrender our will over to God and say, Lord, lead me, direct me into all truths and into the good things in life. So don't complain, brethren, against one another. Look, the judge is already standing at the door. As an example of suffering and ill treatment together with patience, brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as his messengers. You know, we call those blessed, happy, who were steadfast, who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the Lord's purpose and how he richly blessed him in the end, inasmuch as the Lord is full of pity and compassion and tenderness and mercy. I love it when people talk about Job. So often they say, oh, you remember Job, how he suffered. Nobody ever seems to read to the end of the book. He went through a process of some great difficulty in his family life. He lost many things. And during his loss, it must have been tragic. And basically through his losses, it affected him so badly that his health even began to fail because of the trauma to him. You see, the thought patterns begin to bring negative thoughts and begin to cause the body to decay and to begin to destroy itself. But you start to read the word of God, you start to bring the things of God in, and it will quicken this mortal body. But that's what the word of God says. You start to speak the word of God into your life, and it will begin to change your symptoms. It will begin to change you from feeling sick and not well into feeling much better and bring a healing. You say, well, how can that be? I don't know, because I'm not God. But I do know that when Jesus healed people, he spoke to them. And he changed them. Right? Why? Because he believed in the words he spoke.
He did.
Because he knew the author of the words he spoke.
Yeah.
And so he spoke those words of life.
Yeah.
And we need to speak words of life.
Yeah, we do.
To our own selves.
Yeah.
We need to confess the word of God over our own life.
Yeah.
And bring life-changing decisions into our own circumstance. Right there and then. You have the power. Matthew, he says, in Matthew, he says, I give you the keys of the kingdom. These are keys to,
yeah,
to change who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We're changing. We're changing from glory to glory to glory. We're being made perfect. We're changing. We're in a process of change. And that process can only work when the word of God is being applied into our lives.
Job said, though, didn't he, and the thing I feared most has come upon me.
Yes.
And he says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So
yeah, that's right. I believe that's in Job 3, something, verse 8. And Job says there, what I was expecting has actually happened. You start believing for something, you start expecting it. Next thing you know, knocking at the door.
It works negative and positive.
Absolutely works, yeah, both in the negative and the positive. He feared that his children might sin, so he made sacrifices on their behalf.
Mm.
Well, they were old enough to make their own decisions.
Mm.
They were not children,
mm,
right? They were partying.
Mm.
They weren't children. They were adults. They were his children, but they were adults. And yet he's still making sacrifices just in case they sin. He knew they were sinning.
Mm.
Why else would he sacrifice for it? They themselves were free agents.
Yeah.
Even then, each and every one of us, even at the beginning of creation, had the right for a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, with God Himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so Job, as you say, says it, these things, that which I feared most has come upon me. He'd lost his family, he'd lost all of his wealth, and now he's losing his health. And then his friends come along. And then it gets very complicated. You know, it's like the worst knitting pattern you can even ever read. And it becomes so complicated and so intricate and so on, and goes on. But the great thing is you can get to chapter 42 in Job. And there it begins to tell you, and God turned Job's curses into blessings.
Yeah.
And he began to bless him in such a way that he had twice as many sons and daughters, he had twice as much in his flocks, he had twice as... It just doubled and doubled and doubled. So when people say, yeah, you remember Job? I think, yeah, I do. Isn't it great? But, you know, God blessed him at the end with all that, and he lived a long life.
Yeah.
He lived to see it and he lived to enjoy it.
Amen.
Right?
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Yeah.
This is what it's, that's what it's implying. That's what it's saying. So, and his suffering was only about 9 months.
Yeah.
But people try to make it, oh, it went up for years. It didn't. Maximum 18 months. And then suddenly it's all turned, and God turns his curses into blessings. And you know what Deuteronomy, and this is before Deuteronomy has even been written.
Mm.
Deuteronomy 28. What do you want? To be cursed or do you want to be blessed?
Blessed. God tells you what to choose.
Choose you this day whom you will serve.
Yeah.
Life or death. Blessings or curses. Choose today. And people every day choose. Choose God, you choose blessings.
Yeah.
And Joshua said, and as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he basically said, and we will be blessed for doing that. And you can do what you want. You know, you have to make your own decision. Joshua couldn't make it for them. We have to do this. We can encourage one another. We can pray and sometimes we can assist one another. But the ultimate first step is yours.
Yeah.
It's yours. You have to start the momentum and get it moving. And you have to keep pressing in and pressing in and pressing in until you've pressed in so far the devil can't even reach inside to try and drag you back. Because what the devil wants to do is to try and drag you back every time, try and pull you out. It's, if you want, it's a little bit symbolic of the fact that the high priest every year would cleanse himself and prepare himself to go into the Holy of Holies.
Mm-hmm.
And then he will be stripped down to just purely the one garment of pure linen.
Yeah.
And then they would tie a cord around his ankle. Mm-hmm. And they had bells on the bottom of the garment. And whilst the bells were ringing, he was still alive. If it went quiet, oh no, pull the cord and drag him out. Because he went in and he was simple. And nothing that is simple can stand and live in the presence of God. So we have to keep pressing on. We have to keep pressing in. Keep doing what is right, what is true and what is holy. And we have to do it for the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
For the name of our Lord Jesus. That we might see others blessed, that we might see a harvest.
Mm.
Not, well, I'm going to rephrase that. That we will then see a harvest.
Yes.
Mm. We're not going to might see, we shall see a harvest.
Yes.
Because God has promised, you sow that good seed and there will be a harvest.
Yeah.
Mm. He is the Lord of the harvest and he is watching over that seed.
Yeah. Definitely.
And there's a big harvest to come.
There is.
There's a big harvest to come. Do you want to be part of it?
Yes, I shall be.
Come on, let's be in the Word. Let's take it to another level, spiritually speaking. Let's let this Word move and change our lives and change the lives of others. Let us even be, in this beginning of this year, changed and transformed ourselves into His glory. What verse did I get to?
12.
Yes, 12, thanks. Yeah, Joel. But above all things, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any oath, but let your yes be a simple yes, and let your no be a simple no. And I hear people, you invite them to church, and they say, yeah, I'll come. And really, they mean no. And there are some times I really look at Timothy like saying, you're not coming, are you? Because I know.
Mm.
I know. I know what we're saying.
Mm.
Being polite to me, being nice to me. You're not being nice to me when you lie to me. In fact, you're not lying to me, if it's me that's asking somebody. They're not lying to me. They're actually lying to God.
Mm.
Actually lying to God, aren't they? I'm God's representative. We are God's representative. And so if they say yes to you, they're saying yes to God.
Mm.
If they don't honour that, they've lied. Very simple, very straightforward. And the Bible, you know, James is saying, be truthful.
Yeah.
Be straight. Be honourable. Be righteous. If you say yes, then stand by your word.
Amen.
Be a man and woman of your word.
Amen.
Be an example to others.
Mm.
And be a good example.
Yeah.
And as you do that, God will bless you. He goes on to say, so that you may not sin and fall under condemnation. Now James is saying, so if you say yes to somebody and you mean no, he says, then you've sinned and you will fall under condemnation.
Mm.
Is that not what he says?
Mm.
You know, if you just analyse that, I don't know what translation you've got. I'm reading from the Amplified because it's really does a good job, actually. In the King James, he says, but let your yea be yea and nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. So he's saying, if you say yes and mean no, then we could fall into condemnation. Well, I don't think I fancy the pit of condemnation. I don't fancy going down that route. So let's, you know, when we speak, let's speak truth in love and kindness and to encourage one another. And so that in our, so that others may see our example, but they might not fall into condemnation by doing the wrong thing. It's so easy today, people, you know, text messages and they send a message and it's, you know, they don't speak to it. They'll speak, well, even face to face, they'll say to you, oh yeah, I'll see you, but there's no intention of coming. And these people I'm talking, in some cases, quite a few of them, are professing that they are following the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gets to me now. It's good to let folk know where you're at. And be truthful about it. Particularly when you know, Helen, she's doing youth work. So she comes down on a Friday, she comes every Friday. We at the moment are involved still in Teen Challenge Doncaster. So we're not able to come every Friday. But we try and let Helen know that we're going to be arriving at some stage, don't we? Now, I would find it quite upsetting and quite wrong if suddenly Helen just decided one day, I'm not going to youth this Friday, without even letting me know that I could maybe make alternative arrangements. Or, even better than that, that Helen said, Helen would actually say, I'm not coming to youth on Friday, but I have made alternative arrangements for him and kept me in the loop. I'm leader, right, at this stage. And so, it's the respect and responsibility. This is what we're doing. I'm not going to have hands on everything. But it's good to have some insight of what's happening. Because in the end, if anything goes wrong, it will land at my door. Not yours. It will end up landing at my door. Isn't that true? And so, she's doing what she's doing, and so I expect, you know, when there's something that's either gone off some issue, she'll let me know. I expect that if she's unable to get there, she'll either make some alternative arrangements or let us know so that we can do whatever is necessary. It's important.
Well, we
had a
party before we did it.
Yeah, it's important. You see, we are dealing with people's lives. You know, let's look, I want to see us develop greeters on the door, people, prayer teams, etc. And so all these people have a responsibility to deal with people's lives. Mm-hmm. Right from the back through to the front, to musicians, to speaking, to whatever we do in the church, we are all responsible towards somebody's life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if we can become in the future a well-oiled, Holy Spirit anointed gospel machine, for want of a better word, that when people come in, people just begin to sense that there is such a unity. There's not a member that's in any form of disunity. There's not a hairline split. There's not a fracture in the vessel. And that people come in and just say, wow, this is wonderful. I know, I say, well, you're looking for utopia, so is God.
Mm-hmm.
God is looking for a perfect church. He's looking for a perfect bride. So then I should also be looking towards that same goal.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, you're dealing with human people. Yeah, no, so is God.
Mm-hmm.
It's only this book and our personal relationship with the Lord that then brings us that we respect one another.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that we honour one another.
Keep our word.
And stand by, you see, our word. James is going to be having a pile of trouble.
Yeah.
It's the early church, you know. Some of them were used to lying all the time.
Mm.
You know, the Jews were wheelers and dealers.
Mm.
We all know that wheelers and dealers lie.
Timothy and Titus.
Yeah, exactly. See, so these issues were in this undercurrent and he's dealing with it. You know, this is not the church. This is not who we should be. This is not what God is about in our lives. And so he's encouraging them, you know, don't, so that we don't bring condemnation on ourselves. That we're honourable before God. Moving on, verse 13. Is any one of you afflicted, ill-treated, suffering evil? He should pray. There's your answer. What should I do? Pray. Mm-hmm. What if I'm feeling sick? What should I do? Pray. What if my boss is not treating me right? What should I do? Pray. Mm-hmm. It is the only answer.
It is. It's the answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that I was mistreated in the company when I was an apprentice. I went through a stage where I thought at 18, it was so bad, I was ready to quit. And I'm serving an apprenticeship, and I'm ready to leave. I'd had enough. I was being, even the men in the shop said I wasn't being treated right, but he did not care. He wanted me out for one reason, because I was a thorn in his flesh, because he was having an illicit affair with a woman, and I'm a Christian, and I'm the only Christian in the shop, and I'm an irritation, and he's scratching it. And he's determined he's going to get rid of that itch. So he wrote a letter to try and get rid of me. Well, it didn't work, did it? I'd never said a wrong word to that man. And I just said, and one day he laid into me in front of everybody. And he ripped me to shreds. Well, that night I went home and I prayed. And the next day I had a meeting in the training officers department. They called us up every so many months. And as I was going to that meeting, the Lord said to me, now you tell them what's been happening. Up till that point, I'd kept my mouth shut. And God said, now you tell them. So I did. They were going to drag him in the office. I'm thinking, oh God, what have you done now? I'm ready to slide under the table. But they didn't. But they took some actions that actually delivered me out of Egypt and brought me into a promised land. Within a few months, I'd finished my qualifications in that section. I'd been transferred upwards for a better job, with a greater future, and God had done it. And God had delivered me out of the lion's den and put me into a green and pleasant land. And the bosses after that were great, they were wonderful to me. We've got your future all planned for you. Don't have to do anything, just do what you're doing. We'll look after everything else, don't worry about it. You know, just stay out of the unions, we'll sort your life out, everything's good. I'm like, wow. You know, I just could not believe what was going on. But it was in that obedience to God and trusting God and crying out to God, Lord, you need to do something. You need to do something. And he did, so.
I don't tell you to whinge,
do you? No, it doesn't say to whinge anymore. No. Stand on the word. Right. Yeah. And see the hand of the deliverer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what we've got to do, see his hand of deliverance.
It's easy to forget to pray.
It is.
I do it all the time and I think, what are you doing?
First thing we should do is pray.
It's usually the last resort.
Exactly. And if I'd have prayed first, I could have saved all that time. Then I could have done something else.
I find it hard that a lot of Christians find prayer one of the hardest things to do, and it's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
First thing.
Well, Jesus prayed. So if Jesus prayed, surely I need to pray.
Absolutely.
You know, and the thing is, at the end of the day, even talking to people and saying, we're having a prayer meeting, people struggle and think, well, I don't really want to go to that one. You know? And it should be the one they all want to go to.
The worst attended meeting is a prayer meeting in every church. And while you've got a church like that, you'll have a weak church. Mm-hmm. And the devil's laughing. Mm-hmm. Because he's keeping them all away. Mm-hmm. He's keeping them away from the powerhouse.
Yeah.
He's keeping them away from the anointing. Mm-hmm. He's keeping them away from that which makes the bride glorious. Prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a place to be. It's the powerhouse of God. It's like even on a Sunday, you know, we have a section to the right where we spend a few minutes praying. Very few people go across there. Mm-hmm. Lack of prayer, lack of anointing, lack of presence, lack of people. No prayer, little prayer brings lack. Much prayer brings increase. And the church has got to get out of this mindset and has got to motivate itself to prayer. I said motivate itself to prayer.
Yeah.
I can't motivate you to pray.
No.
You've got to get off your own backsides and you've got to have a desire to see God moving in power.
And believe it.
Yeah. But the first step is to have a desire.
It's the desire.
It's the desire. What is your desire?
Because a lot of people in church now, they're sorted. Sorry, I've been like this for a month. They're sorted and they're comfortable. So why do they need to do any more?
But they're not sorted.
No, but that's their
exactly,
mindset.
That's their understanding. They're not sorted. Because we're on a process of being perfected. We're on a process of coming deeper and deeper into the presence and the knowledge of God. Of coming deeper and deeper into a personal relationship and actually hearing his voice speaking to us. And if you ask them people, have you actually heard God speak to you? And the answer will probably be, no. Well, you're nowhere near where you should be.
But then some of the other excuses are, well, I can pray at home on my own because it says in the Bible,
Don't get me on that one.
Pray.
That's on personal things. But there's corporate prayer.
Yes.
Where to all men
gathered in his name. This corporate prayer. Prayer is the powerhouse. It's like waging war on the devil. It's like launching warheads against the devil in the heavenly realm and just punching holes. Right? So Daniel prayed. And he was punching holes. It was spiritual warfare he's into.
Three times a day, aren't I?
meals a day. How often do you pray? How often do you eat? Three times a day. Well, pray three times a day as well. And these are challenges. These are challenges.
Yeah.
Well, the Jews used it as a model, didn't they?
Yes.
Daniel's prayer.
Yeah.
Routine.
Yeah. And we, you know, the evangelical church has just lost it. We've become complacent. We've become happy clappy, with no depth. No depth of knowledge of who God really is. And we're quite content and happy with that. Don't trouble me with details. I just want to ride this boat. I want to go on a luxury liner. But we aren't going to be a luxury liner, you know. We have guns to man. We have destinations to go. Everybody needs to be up, ready and running. Functioning. It's where it needs to be. And others that are coming in, we need to get them into motivating, and we drive, we move towards the things of the kingdom and see the kingdom of God being coming to pass in great power. You see, we're drifting out with the glory to God. Amen. It's all about the same thing.
Are any cheerful?
Verse 13. Is anyone glad at heart? He should sing praises to God.
Amen.
If you're glad, sing praises.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're feeling sad, sing praises. It'll make you laugh, and then you'll sing some more praises.
It's amazing how much it does pick you up.
It does. Yeah.
If I stick a worship CD on,
a merry heart doeth good like medicine. It's an Old Testament scripture, but it is powerfully true. It knows the truth.
Yeah. Because when you start singing songs of praise, you're focusing on God and you can't help but be happy and cheerful then, can you? Regardless of what's going off around you.
Yeah.
And then when you've done that, he says that if anybody is sick among you, you should call for the church elders, the spiritual guides, and they should pray over him, anointing him with oil and in the Lord's name. That's where it comes from. You know, the reason that the says elders is because the principle of that is believing that the elders are moving themselves into a much deeper relationship and are leading the church forward as an example into a deeper relationship. So that anointing is present in their lives.
Mm.
And the anticipation and belief is that because of that anointing, that Christ-like anointing, that when they lay hands and anoint people, they would become a healing.
Mm.
There will be miracles happening as well.
Mm.
You know, we hear the story when Peter goes to the gate, walks and the and talks about Peter as he walks on, and his shadow.
Yeah.
Just his shadow. People were like, just let me get on the right side, bring some shining, you know, like, just let his shadow cast over me and I'll be healed. That was the anointing that was in his life. You know, and folks say, oh, I don't believe in all this healing thing. Well, which Bible are you reading? You're not reading my Bible. So, but we have to, in leaders, we have to go to that next level. We have to press into that next level. We have to set the lead.
Yeah.
And it is our responsibility to do that.
Mm.
Otherwise, we shouldn't believe. And, you know, and Paul talks to Timothy and says about leaders and setting people in leadership. He says, look at them, examine them. And they've got to be doing it already. They've got to already have a lifestyle of already doing it before you even give them a title.
Mm-hmm.
You see them doing it, then you give them a title.
Mm-hmm.
You see the works, you see the blessings of what they're doing in people's lives, and then you say, oh yeah, we acknowledge that person's a deacon.
Mm-hmm.
That person has a ministry of this, that person has a ministry of that, that person is an elder.
Mm-hmm.
But the process has already been ongoing.
Mm.
Not like some churches, well, we'll make you an elder and then one day you'll become one.
Mm.
No. That once happened in the church I was in. They made people deacons and others elders, moved up other deacons up to be elders and basically said, well, one day you'll become one. I'm like, well, that's not what it says in Scripture.
Mm.
One of the deacons, after so many months, had to resign because he couldn't handle it. Because, bless him, he wasn't a deacon. And one of the other deacons, actually, one who was going to be made a deacon, actually said, I can't do this, I'm not ready for it. And I admired that person for doing that.
Amen.
Because he was standing biblically.
Mm.
He acknowledged he wasn't there yet.
Mm.
Which is great. And so, but we have to be moving forward as a church. We have to keep moving forward in that anointing. Verse 15, and the prayer that is of faith will save him who is sick, and the Lord will restore him. If he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Verse 16, confess to one another, therefore, your slips, your false steps, your offences, your sins, and pray also for one another, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of the righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working.
Amen.
That's what prayer does. Makes available tremendous power.
Mm.
You know, restoring, may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. That's what we need.
Mm.
We need a restoring to that spiritual tone and to that spiritual mind and heart that is the heartbeat of God.
Mm.
And that's a level that each of us need to rise to, need to aim for, need to go for. And that will be, you know, that will be, for each and every one, will be a challenge at a different rate for us to go for. And as we go for that, we'll find God moving in power in our lives, moving in power in the church, and we'll see an acceleration in the things of the kingdom of God in this place. So let's keep pressing in. Let's keep moving forward. He says Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have, with feelings, affections, and a constitution like ours. And he prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heavens supplied rain, and the land produced its crop as usual.
Amen.
Praise God. So we have to realize that yes, sometimes our feelings get in the way, but we have to push through. And if we push through, like Elijah pushed through, he then carried out the will of God. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then when he defeated the prophets of Baal, he prayed again. And it began to rain. See, God listens to your prayers. This is what James is saying. God will listen to what you're saying. God will act upon. God will move. God will go against even nature, as we might say, to change things. My brethren, if any one of you strays from the truth and falls into error, and another person brings him back to God, the latter one, be sure that whatever turns a sinner from his evil course will save that one's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins, procuring the pardon of many sins committed by the convert. Talks about if you've got a brother who's erring, going the wrong way, get around him, restore him, correct him, encourage him, turn him back to God.
Yeah.
You know, if they've gone so far away that there is sinning and they've left God, turn them back to God. Show them the error of the ways, and you'll save a soul from death.
Amen.
You'll save a soul from hell. You'll save a soul from eternal condemnation. Mm. And the sins of that person will be hidden.
Mm.
What a miracle.
Amen.
What a miracle. And the sins will be hidden. And no matter how many sins they've committed, they'll be hidden. Mm. We have tremendous power given to us through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. Through his sacrifice and through the eternal life that he's given to us. We have a tremendous opportunity of a marvellous relationship that we can have with our Heavenly Father restored to us. And so many people have this opportunity and I believe are wasting it.
Mm.
And we as a church, a group of believers in Christ Jesus, we must not worship what God has, we must not waste what God has given to us.
Yeah.
So let's, you know, this year of 2016 set off with a determination to see things change.
Amen.
Firstly in our own lives,
mm-hmm.
and then as it affects us, it will affect other people around us. And from here it will reach out into the lives of other people.
Mm-hmm.
James was starting with a new church. Mm-hmm. James was dealing with a lot of Jewish believers with Old Testament law and legislation, and he was bringing them to a place of absolute faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He was changing their direction. He was changing their perception, their understanding of who God really is. And that he was a God of love and mercy,
yeah.
and not a God of just law and judgment. And so he had a great task on his hands. But let's follow that example, that we become a mighty church in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bless you all.
Actually, with Elijah, if it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months,
that must have been the time when they were worshipping Baal.
Yeah, it was Baal worship that they had to come
in. They did it. And he actually sent Elijah to deal with it.
Yeah. And the church is sent to deal with the things
it
in the world.
To stand for what's true and right.
Yeah. You know, Elijah went through that process. Oh God, there's only me left. He goes, there's what? I've got 7,000 tucked away. What are you on about?
That's when Jezebel were going to kill him.
Oh, that's when Jezebel were going to kill him.
Yeah. And he'd called fire down from heaven, so he got power, and yet he fled from just a threat.
And that's why scripture says, you know, he's a man like us. You know, we can go on a high and then suddenly
we
go over the edge for some reason, and you know, we're down in the muddy grubs and going down the garden to eat worms, as Bish used to say, I'm having a self-pity party and nobody's invited, just to stay away. Let me enjoy my party. And the devil wants to get you all like that. Yeah. The devil wants to do that. Jezebel was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think what we've got to remember when we start moving to them realms, we need to probably start saying, will somebody throw Jezebel out the window, please?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
I guarantee, though, if something really spiritual has happened to you, that's when you get attacked into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
but that's when, you know, we should be strong enough to stand and we should encourage one another. And as I say, I really come to the point where I begin to see this and say, throw Jezebel out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and maybe you need to go, sometimes you need to sort of physically go to the doorway or to a window and open it up and say, Jezebel, out.
Yeah.
You know, and release yourself from that spiritual onslaught.
Mm. Yeah.
Because that doesn't control you.
No.
Right? That does not control us. Mm. When we give our life to Christ, He's all power and all authority.
Mm.
And you know, our lives are in His hands. And the devil only has the power that we surrender Him. If we start agreeing with Him, we give Him power.
Yeah.
You know, probably Elijah's done all this and killed these prophets, everybody took off and went, he's left on his own, clears off, and somebody says, oh, she's going to get you this time. And nobody's seen really what's happened all that much, and you don't get any slap on the back, well done, you know, great job, and oh, come on, you know, we'll go get Jezebel for you now, sort of thing. Nobody's staying, wouldn't you, Jezebel?
Mm.
And the ball that Jezebel's after him, he's like, he's still on his own.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not.
No.
God's not left him.
No.
God's not left. But you see, in his own human way, he was probably waiting for people to gather around him and...
Mm.
Yeah, come on, you know, it's raining and we're going to say you've dropped and food and everything. No, it didn't happen like that. And in the end, it clears up, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's amazing how sometimes you go through a service and God's really spoken to you through that service.
Mm.
As soon as you stand up to walk out, somebody comes at you.
Just seeing it away.
Were they not in the same room as me?
They might have been in the same room, but they were listening to different voices.
Yeah, exactly.
You see, that's another thing that prayer we need to pray, and that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in each and every one of us, and that same voice of the Spirit speaks to every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had that in this church to a certain level. You know, Ellen can be preaching, and I'll start preaching a message 2 weeks beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not because Ellen's told me anything.
Mm.
I've done it. It's happened with you, isn't it?
Mm.
It's vice versa.
Long spell at other
people. At one stage in
the
loop. Yeah. It used to go on and it's like, oh, taking me message, aren't you? And then once Ellen would tell me, I'm going to bother. I'm going to preach that. But it's that same Spirit.
Mm.
One voice.
Yeah.
Speaking the same thing to the church.
Mm.
And it brings a quickening.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And we're serving and listening to that right voice of the Spirit of God. And it's not because we've sat down and said, oh, well, I'll preach on this, you'll preach on that. None of that has happened.
No.
Sometimes I get something ready and get in, God says, we're not doing that today. Oh, okay. What are we doing? And it's like something else.
Mm.
But the fact is, you put the time into the Word.
Mm-hmm.
You've been around the table.
Mm.
Before I came out, I had my meal. You know, revitalises you, don't it?
Mm.
You have to be in the Word
yeah.
to charge and revitalise your spirit.
Yeah.
So it's so important. But at the same time, we need to bring it into the church and we need to begin to manifest the glory of God.
Mm.
I don't know, people say, well, I'm not like that. Well, I'm not me anymore. I'm the Christ in me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference. He's not the same person that I knew all them years ago when he first got born again. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It is the Christ that has been at work in him and the yeah. Word of God that's been at work in him, and he's become more like his Heavenly Father yeah. than his earthly father.
Amen.
That's the process that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be. If we spend time in the presence of the Father, we will become like him.
Yeah.
As the saying, Yorkshire, chip off the old lock.
Yeah. Rubs off.
It will rub off. Exactly. And I've said many years ago when I was seeking God for further gifts of the Spirit, and God sent a man along and told me, you know, go spend some time with him. And that same anointing on him rubbed off on me.
Amen.
Because we were side by side.
Mm-hmm.
And that same anointing rubbed off.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and like in Timothy, that which you receive by the laying on of hands,
mm-hmm.
you see,
mm-hmm.
it is there. And if you see, if you have the desire, like we talked about, mm-hmm. you have a real desire for something, God will do it.
Yeah.
God will impart it and for the use of the kingdom and for the benefit of the church.
Mm-hmm.
But it's having a desire. Mm. And the trouble is today, people are quite satisfied where they're at. They're comfortable.
Mm.
They're comfortable.
Mm.
Financially, they're comfortable.
Even with illness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why are people scared to ask for healing?
I have no idea.
You know, because...
There's no glory in suffering sickness.
No, but they are. They're frightened of praying. They're also frightened of asking to be healed of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand this at all.
No.
Yeah, they'll take the medicine the doctor's prescribed.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It says on it, you know, this can cause, and the list is endless, and you think to yourself, I think I'll push it down the toilet, but the toilet won't get anything like this, and I'll have to just take off. What God's going to give me. You know, sometimes it can get a bit like that.
It can. I mean, we've got to use medicine and the power
yeah.
of
oh, yeah.
God's gifts as
oh,
well.
Oh, it's a balance.
Yeah, there is
yeah.
a balance.
Yeah.
The thing is, we've got to press in, we've got to push and believe God, because I'm telling you what, if the church will do that, we will see miracles that will confound the doctors. Why not?
Why not?
Do you know, I'm convinced, I know we've been out over Christmas with bulk packages and inviting people in and doing all this and everything. Okay, so what did that produce? And I'm still back to signs, wonders and miracles is not the thing that's going to bring people in. Because they see something that nobody else can give.
That's what Jesus did, didn't he? He filled the crowds with what? And he healed everyone.
Miracles, didn't he?
Fear is probably the devil's best weapon.
Yeah.
I have a saying, I don't know if I've got it from somewhere else, it's either a barrier, or a gateway. If you step forward when fear happens, use a bit of little common sense. And that fear disappears. I asked for faith, and now there were situations I couldn't walk away from. So be careful, the old saying, be careful what we ask for. And I've walked up to situations and thinking, there's no way can I back off. Then I was terrified. Just change. This happened yesterday morning. And the person that I thought I feared, like you were a woman of very great authority, I thought she wouldn't hold me. Honestly, this was yesterday morning.
See, fear is anti-faith.
Absolutely.
And if you let fear take all of you, It will neutralise faith. And so faith has to be that which rises up within us, even the smallest amount of faith. We're not looking for a lorry load, just a seed.
A mustard
seed. A mustard seed.
That's right.
You've got that much faith, it'll move that mountain. So, where's the church faith levels these days? Ask awkward questions. Where is the church's faith level these days? What do we trust in? Do we trust in programs? Or do we trust the Word of God? But it's so easy to trust a program instead of the Word of God, because the program seems to be more tangible and understandable to our intellect. God is not dealing with intellect. God is dealing with spiritual things. And spiritual things change physical things.
That mustard seed, we were talking about it last year, the smallest seed. And it's the one seed that the Jews hated because they could never control it. There's no barriers to it, it just goes berserk, it covers everything and everybody. Trees, absolutely, the ground, the trees, the forests, everything. It swallows everything up, and that's just a tiny seed.
And the church of Jesus Christ is here to swallow everything up.
It is.
That's the truth of the word.
And all it takes is one of us to have us.
Well, I hope that challenges each and every one of us to press it more. Or do we need to get a bigger hammer to bang the nail in?
No, we just need to keep hammering more.
No, I watched somebody the other day and they got a hammer and a nail and they tapped it on him and I said to you,
why not you just eat it?
See, tapping away on a 3-inch nail and think,
you can do it. Two or three whacks and it's in.
having worked in wood, you know, we used to have time to put hundreds of nails and screws in. At the time, and you know, you'd sort of, and you're an apprentice, and you're sort of, your guy that's working with you is egging you on to go faster and what have you. So you got your eye in, and you're like, boom, 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 you know, like hammering in one go. Whereas first off, you start, you go tap, and you tap, 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 and he's like, eat it, boom, my eye, boom, it's gone.
Not when you're done with it, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's like, I remember, we went to Mexborough College from school, and they took us into metalwork class. We had this 4-inch bar, round bar of steel, put it in vice, put two groove cuts in it, got this chisel, and he said, I'm going to chop a groove through there, this is what I want you lot to do afterwards. And we just got hammering away with this chisel, bang, 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 bang. All metals peeling up and that going on. So there you are, that's how you do it. Okay. So easy bit, switch saw, put two grooves in, and you get a chisel. And then you watch it end at chisel. Next thing you say, so after that you start tapping it gently. It's like, no, you're not doing it right. Don't look at this end of the chisel, look at that end of the chisel. And you're like, well, hang on, I'm going to look at what I'm aiming at. So no, you look at that end. You're right, you know. Bit of practice. Look at it like that. But it's trusting in your tools. And it's trusting in this book.
Amen.
It's trusting in this Word of God. It's effective. It can do its work.
It will.
It will do its work.
We're not doing it, are we?